comments.
Going to North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl Lindebaugh. Good morning, 7:05, February 1st. We got out of January alive there, Bad Bob.
Indeed.
And in fact, I'm joined by Bad Bob.
And good morning, and very nice windy weather coming in. So if you've got a vehicle that gets pushed around a bit, take a little extra time.
Yeah, well, you know, today's high is going to be 64. Right now it's 42 degrees, and it should be a high near 64, north wind between 13 and 20 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low around 34. Looks like Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, it's going to be a high near 71. Looks like it's going to be a lot of good weather here. We're also joined by Nate, who is our latest offering to
good morning.
The god of radio-dom here. You know, Linda's not here. She is on assignment this morning and is trying to take care of all those last things that are supposed to, you know, that happened like 3 weeks ago that have to do with heating and plumbing and electric and all that. So, anyway, good morning. We're going to talk about emergencies today with our guest. We're going to be talking about just a number of things. First, going to take a quick break, and then we're going to head on back in. We're going to start talking about what's going on over in Egypt. We're going to talk about the state budget. We're going to be talking about a memorial that was held to a young man from Anderson that was held yesterday. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, but mainly we're going to be talking about things that you want to talk about, too. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome to 1460. You're right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And you can get on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. We stream that way, and then you can chat with us at the same time. And we are bringing in some new mixers and everything. And this one is sounding a little bit light now. Okay. Well, you know, we'll work with it. On today, okay, you ready for this day in history? Because Linda loves to do this. The day in history. This is not a big day in history. Clark Gable was making his first movie. It was 1931, and Darryl Zanuck, who was in charge of all the movies back then for that company, said his ears are too big. He looks like an ape. Well, Clark Gable went on to make 20 films. He won an Academy Award for the Best Actor. And in the year was 1934 for It Happened One Night. And that was, he appeared in one of the scenes without a shirt on, and that almost killed the undershirt industry for that year. So, this on this day in 1901, William Clark Gable was born. We've been getting emails from a few people asking about a gent that's in our local jail. Mustafa El-Hamid Muhammad is in the county jail. He's in there with 7 counts, including illegal possession of weapons, ammo, and illegal entry to the United States. We don't know how long he's been in there. I just called up yesterday because more than one, has written to us or called and said, we know about this. And to answer questions, because we did research it, is that he's being held with no bail and that ICE has been told. So they're holding him for the feds. I found it interesting, though, that when they said that this man was here. And, of course, they don't know how long he's been here or anything like that. The other thing. Okay, sports. Bad Bob.
Yes.
People in sports. No, and we talked about how they should never be heroes, but they can be admired. Mm-hmm. You know, and some may lead heroic lives. I can think of a couple, but most of them are just humans. They don't want to be held up as as something special. But what about the ones that are most disliked in sports? They did a survey with 1,000 people and asked them for on a variety of reasons, how do you like, you know, really dislike, you know, dislike like this, and they do a percentage, and they do the top five. The top five disliked sports figures. Who do you think is up there at number one?
Mm.
this can cover owners and players and, you know, managers, those kind of things.
Yeah, that's a wide open field. There's a lot of folks to dislike.
Okay, well, you know what? The most disliked personality in sports is Al Davis, Oakland Raiders. Because Al, for a variety of reasons, mainly what he's doing with the team. Okay, this man fell from number one last year to number two, Michael Vick. And even though Michael Vick has, you know, his percentage of being liked has gone up a little bit, he is still the second most disliked individual in sports. Mark McGwire. People have a long memory. Remember McGwire?
Oh, yeah.
Who broke the Roger Maris's home run record, who had broken Babe Ruth's home run record. And the people had gotten all over Maris. Well, McGwire broke it, and then it appears he would use steroids to help him. And I think his name is still in the books.
With a big asterisk.
Does it have it on there? Yes. You sure? Okay, well, I'm not sure it is. But anyway, McGwire is one of the most disliked, well, the third most disliked figure in sports. The fourth, Tiger Woods. And
really?
It could, yeah, Tiger Woods. I think a lot of people saw, here's a man that had everything in the world going for him, was the best at what he did, and then he let his personal life just completely override his natural abilities and the work he's put into it. And the last, of course, is Jerry Jones. How could you dislike Jerry Jones from the Dallas Cowboys? And that's about all I know about sports anyway, but I understand Jerry Jones has made quite a few, has made a splash in the world. All right. Obama health care has been ruled by the second judge to be unconstitutional. Judge Vinson of Florida. And this isn't just one state. 26 states had joined into this and brought suit against the Obama health care plan. Judge Vinson ruled that it violates people's rights by forcing them to buy health insurance by 2014 or face penalties. Anybody who saw this thing when it first started saw that happening. It was going to happen. And, you know, where it's, does the healthcare system need to be fixed? Yes, there's things about the healthcare system that need to be changed. And we need to be able to do certain things. People who have had healthcare insurance before to be kicked out of healthcare insurance because you changed jobs, is, I don't agree with that. Now, them, some people may disagree with that one. Talking to Wally Herger yesterday at the Josh Munns Memorial, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But Wally, Congressman Herger said that it was, yes, we need health change, but this is so, there's so many parts of this health care plan that it just is just, it's dead on arrival, either through the courts or through the people. We're just going to refuse to do it. So his idea is the Republicans is to toss it out and start all over again by using commissions and committees to bring in people like doctors and start asking them, and not, you know, and have a plan that you don't end up letting people off it. Like, I think there's over 700 companies and organizations now that are exempt from this health care law.
I would submit that the federally issued card that you will be required to carry is kind of a backdoor to the national ID card that has caused a lot of consternation.
You already have a card that identifies you.
Well, it doesn't have my picture on it yet.
Well, you have a driver's license.
That is issued by the state.
If you don't think that state computer's not tied into a federal computer, come on, Bad Bob, you are the tech guy.
Well, that is
you
true.
You don't think that the guy, a government official in D.C. says, Bad Bob, pulls it up, he's got your picture, he's got the information off your license, and anything else, he's got your records.
I guess it's more symbolic than anything
it
else.
It is symbolic, but it's, and, you know, everybody's got a Social Security number that's here legally and should, so, and you have to give that Social Security number, well, not as much anymore because of identity theft, but you do have to show some kind of ID. If you're getting loans, if you're getting, you know, if you're going into the hospital and everything, unless, of course, you're here illegally, then, you know, that doesn't count. The key provisions in the Vinson sided with governors and attorney generals from 26 U.S. states, almost all of whom are Republicans, in declaring the health care reform unconstitutional. And one of the things that he said, which I found absolutely true, he says if the government can force you to buy health insurance at some point they can force you to eat cauliflower. Now, of course, the White House goes, that's a strange ruling. What's he mean by that? It's simple. It's absolutely simple. If they can force you to buy health insurance, then at that point, they can start getting into your personal life and telling you how to live your personal life. They've already made you buy health insurance. Well, if you're going to use this national health care policy, and that's what it's going to be, now you've got to meet certain requirements. Gee, I know, that's smoking. I'm sorry, you can't smoke. You don't eat enough veggies. You're eating too much red meat. And you can, you know, and you go out there and you go, oh no, this can't happen. Well, let me tell you what can happen. Did you know that right now, when you go down to get your oil changed on your car or anything like that, these places, these Jiffy Lube and Best Lube and anything else where you go to get your car worked on, by law, by the California, you know, Clean Air, I'm sorry, the California law on greenness, whatever that is, what they're doing is they're forcing, by law, the companies there to do tire pressure. They have to ask you. On somewhere on their sheet there is something that says, did you check the air pressure? Did you offer the client a chance to check the air pressure? And if you want to get check the air pressure. Well, they've got to ask that now. Now, they can also start to charge you for that. And as of right now, you don't have to pay. You can waive that right. You know, I know I don't want you to check it if you're going to charge me. And when I'm talking to these guys at this agency, which I'll look up here in a second, I said, so you don't see that you can be forced to have your air checked every time you go into one of these places? Oh, no, that won't happen. Well, sure it can happen. Because that's the first step, is getting it onto the books. And they have to, by the way, they have to keep these records for 3 years. And then the next step is that, and they can be inspected. And the next step is by the way, you need to get your air checked, because, as he puts it, what about all those underinflated tires causing all that loss of fuel and the carbon emissions? And I'm like, okay, I got it. Okay, got to take a quick break because I've gone way too far on this one, on this segment. And Bruce, we're going to get to you as soon as we get back. The home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 530-605-4567 is our phone lines. And KCNR1460.com. We're streaming and we're chatting. 7:24 in the morning. Today is February 1st, 2011. And let me tell you right now, gents. And no, this is gents.
Oh.
Valentine's Day is coming up on the 14th. Now, that may be a big surprise. But it does. It comes up every year on the 14th. And let me tell you right now that you might want to start thinking about it when early. If there's probably a couple of days. One's a birthday, the other's the anniversary. But, you know, Valentine's Day is pretty important. So, and Somos is having a Valentine's Day special dinners and everything on the 13th on a Sunday. They've sold out the 4 o'clock seating, but they have one at 12. You might want to check that out. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Lumberjacks is a locally owned restaurant here, and they give great deals. And on breakfast specials, Monday through Friday, you can get a ham and eggs breakfast, which includes hash browns, two eggs, and toast for $3.99. The most expensive special they have is only $5.99, New York steak and eggs. How many times have you gone to a restaurant to order breakfast? How many times do you, if there's two of you, do you ever get out of there for under $20? You have coffee or a drink, try to get out of there for $20. Well, they give great portions, and you can walk out of there, give them a $20 bill, and actually be able to leave a tip and have change. What can I say? It's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Okay. All right. That was the Air Resources Board. It does that.
CARB, yes.
Yeah, you know, for the tires. But it's very scary. Okay, go to Bruce. Bruce, thanks for waiting.
Well, good morning, Carl.
Well, you know, when I'm by myself, you know, I just jump from here to there. But
yeah. I was just going back to the state of the state.
Yeah, let's do that one.
And it's crazy. if these people are stupid enough to approve these taxes for extensions for 5 years, you know, they're going to get what they got when they had a chance to stop the air research on Prop 23. And now that's coming back in, I mean, it's full steam ahead. You watch grocery prices go up. Not only diesel prices are so high, there's a lot of truckers that won't even come into California at the end of this year because of the diesel emissions on their reefer units for their produce deal, and plus their trucks.
Well, I know that you follow this. Are there exemptions for out-of-state truckers?
No.
So if they can, if they inspect them,
they're right now they did exempt, you know, the 90-day agriculture guys that just run for 90 days a year usually. They exempt ag, but supposedly they don't even exempt school buses. This all had to happen by December of this year.
Well, I tell you what, there's, you know, a lot of our local truckers are going to be out of business because it's going to be like a $40,000 overhaul.
The mandate for truckers. Have you ever passed these big, when they go 53-foot trailers, the big log trailers, and then you see a diffusers underneath mm-hmm. to divert the air from back to the outside of the tires, and then slotted flaps to let the air out of the back of them. If you've got over 21 trucks in a fleet, you can't come in. You've got to have these done by July. You got to have diffusers underneath your truck. Well, that's just another additional cost. Plus, when you get up in snow country, these things load up with a couple 3,000 pounds of snow sticking to them. So all these things are absolutely stupid, but it's what you've got, you know, and they want you to extend the taxes, but they don't want to bend over and cut costs. So
we just got a couple of minutes here, or a minute, but it just, you know, the North State lawmakers, LaMalfa and Nielsen, have said that, you know, they agree with Governor Brown, at least LaMalfa says, such as reduction of the size and scope of government, but that he fundamentally misunderstands the part where he says people want to pay higher taxes or to extend taxes. My problem with extending in these taxes is show me the cuts first, and then show me how, you know, this money, where this money is going to go. And when we, and if you keep it, if the people vote to do that, when is it off? When is it over? Or is this going to be continuous? And we've already had it since 2009. And if anything, it's gotten worse.
And a half years of continuation.
Yeah. And it's gotten worse.
Well, I see you got $10.5 billion knowingly that is spent on illegal immigration here, and that's not even mentioned in there.
Yeah, they never do. They never mention
that. We'll get off. Let somebody else weigh in.
Okay, I've got to go to a breaking wave. Bruce, thanks a lot for the phone call. Okay, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. What have we got, like 10 seconds here? KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. When we come back, we're going to talk about, let's talk about Egypt. And you want expensive gas? It's coming. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:34 in the morning. It's February 1st. Linda's on assignment today, but just had two beautiful women walk in, sit down, and they want to talk. Barbara Harrison?
I'm here without makeup, so that can't be beautiful.
And Michelle
but it's radio.
Martin,
it's radio.
Michelle Martin Strebe from the Record Searchlight. And you're here to talk about eat dessert first.
That's right. Life is short. You need to eat dessert first. Even if it's early in the morning, you still think about that.
We're going to talk about the 4th annual Life is Short, Eat Dessert First, February 9th. At the Turtle Bay Exploration Park.
Yep, this is the Record Searchlight's 4th annual community fundraiser. Every year we pick a community group to benefit, and this year it will be Riverfront Playhouse, as it was last year.
Right.
And we've been able to donate thousands and thousands of dollars toward the effort to build the new playhouse downtown. So basically people buy tickets ahead of time, and they come down to the Turtle Bay Museum at 5:30 on Wednesday, February 9th, and they get to try hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of desserts. And we pretty much guarantee that even if you plan to go to dinner afterward, you really won't want to.
So you're increasing the sugar content of people's body by 6,000%.
Oh, yeah, at least, yes.
So you should run your 6 miles, work in the gym for an hour, and then come straight down there and eat desserts all night.
It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of couples who come down and, you know, it's just kind of a get ready for Valentine's Day. We have a lot of people who say, you know, this is something my parents would really like to go to. We have a lot of young people, you know, it's quite a group. And they get to go through the whole museum, try all kinds of desserts. Then they can take a break and have some wine if they'd like to, and then they can go right back around and try some more desserts.
Another thing we've got going this year, too, is a wonderful auction. We have a silent auction. We have over 90 items going, and it's going to be set up really nice in the back part of the museum. So come and spend your money.
Yep. And the raffle. Don't forget the raffle.
Come and spend
your
money. Come to
Turtle Bay and spend your money.
Absolutely.
What a novel idea that is.
Going to get you. And then we also have a really neat raffle this year, three wonderful prizes, one from Anselmo Winery. It's a dinner for four, a five-course with two bottles of wine, and it's worth over $600, so they're going to do that one upright. And then we have a wine basket from Vintners with bottles of wine and goodies and a wine tasting party for 10, and that's a nice prize. And then the other one is super neat. It's a two-story Victorian dollhouse that John Nathena built, our ex-city council person, and he did a gorgeous job on it. It's really it's worth about $650-$700. It's really, really pretty.
Well, this is great.
Yeah.
And where's the funds go to?
Riverfront.
Playhouse.
Capital Campaign.
Well, this is getting
money to build our theater.
Aren't they getting close?
We're getting close. We're getting close. Every little bit helps, and we're working really hard to make that happen.
Well, that's good. Where do people get their tickets?
They can get them at several locations, Cold Stone, Creameries, both locations. And then also, while you're downtown, the Sweet Spot, Graphic Emporium, where you usually buy your tickets to go see a play at Riverfront Playhouse. They have plenty of tickets. Sandy Specialties, which is the cake shop in Cottonwood. The Friends of the Library Bookstore, which is that wonderful bookstore inside the library, and they're open 7 days a week. Or you can go online, Eat Dessert First. Reading.com. That's our website at Reading.com. And Record Searchlight, of course, has tickets too. The key is to buy them early. We will not have them for sale that night, and we will probably be sold out.
So how many people can you stuff in there?
About 450.
Oh, 400 people. 450 people stuffed in there, stuffing their faces. How about after an hour into it, you have to push people out because it's gotten too big?
No, oh no.
We haven't had that happen yet.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, that would be a nice problem to have, though, let me tell you.
No, I mean, as they eat, they get bigger.
No.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
No.
All right. Okay, well, this sounds great. You know, and again, Riverfront Playhouse, it's a community theater. I mean, how can you not want that to succeed, along with all the other things around here?
Thank you.
But you know what? We really support the theater here. In fact, we're getting ready to start a new show on this Sunday, Bill and Lisa Collins. Live radio theater.
Oh, great. They're wonderful.
They are absolutely wonderful, and they're going to use local talent, plus they're offering, and I don't mean to use this as another commercial, but people need, if you're talking Riverfront.
That's
here,
all part of it.
It's all part of it, and they're coming in and offering, they're going to look for an original play, and there's going to be a prize, cash prize for this, that they will put on.
They've been going after this online and everywhere else
and
to get people to be a part of it on Facebook and everything. It's going to be neat.
It goes for an hour. It goes on Sunday. It'll start at 4 o'clock. It goes from 4 to 5 Sunday afternoons, and it's going to be live radio theater. It's big in Europe, and I think it's, you know, we've got a spot for it right here because we're our local people and you know, again, theater.
Oh, yeah.
And we push that.
And
you know, there's
so
a play going on right now at Riverfront that you and Linda should go and see because it's about the veterans and what have you, and it's everyone is ranting and raving about it. I will admit I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
What's the name of it?
I can't
All
even
My Sons.
All My Sons, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, really good.
All right.
One of the best ones everyone is saying that's ever been put on there. So if you get a chance, I would try and go.
Always
I know
try
you're,
to do
you're
that.
As busy as all of us, but.
Anyway, Barbara Harrison and Michelle Martin Strebe from the Record Searchlight. Mm-hmm. And Barbara Harrison, I kind of think of you as from the world.
Thank you.
Because you know you're involved with everything.
I like to be happy and involved in doing things for other people.
That's great. Well, you do a lot for other people.
I try.
Okay, February 9th at Turtle Bay.
5:30 to 7:30.
5:30 to 7:30, and tickets are how much?
$29.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that includes they'll be able to see exhibits. The new exhibits at Turtle Bay. We're sponsoring two of the three exhibits: the Migrant Project photo exhibit, and also the Sustainable Choices interactive exhibit, and those will be open to our patrons that night, so they'll be able to see those things.
Okay, I have to ask this. The migrant?
The migrant project, it's a photojournalist went and photographed migrant workers in the different agricultural areas in Southwest America.
Oh.
So okay. Come on down. We'd love to have you. And I'm sure you have lots to talk about. I haven't seen the exhibit yet. I'll get to see it Friday night.
I haven't either.
Okay. Well, you know, we were just down there the other day. So, okay. Thank you so much for coming by. And we support this. This is Life is Short. Eat dessert first. We're all over that one. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, 60, the home of Free Fire, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 7:45 in the morning, January the 1st, my friends. 49 degrees, it's going to be a great day today. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 51 already. Okay, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. 244-1988, Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. He's moved to 1345 Liberty Street. He guarantees his work. He's a local guy. Don't call that 800 number. You're not helping the community if you do that. Call Doug Tooley, 244-1988. We use him in our home. We're very, very pleased with Dish. We're pleased with his service. 244-1988. Okay. Yesterday, we talked about a memorial that was being held down at Anderson River Park for Corporal Joshua Munns, who was a Marine, had done two tours in Iraq. He came back, and he took a job as a part of a security position for an outfit over there in Iraq. In 2006, he and three others were captured and essentially disappeared. His body was found in 2007. Yesterday was a memorial service and a dedication of a bench at the veterans area of the Anderson River Park. I was there, and there's a number of people there, but Cheryl Cobb, our friend, who just came in today for something else, was also there. Cheryl?
Yes, I was.
What did you think?
I was wonderful, and I was amazed at the number of people that came out for the dedication. It was such a good turnout.
Well, you know, it was. I think it was well over 100 people
out there.
You know, and the thing is it doesn't really surprise me because that's the way, you know, the North State is.
Well, that's true. I thought maybe because it was at 4:00, a lot of people would be at work and wouldn't be there. But it was
a tough time, but people made the attempt. And I mean, we had, you know, Congressman Herter was there.
Yes.
And we had, you know, a mayor, or not mayor, but a city councilwoman Jones was there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Melissa Hunt was putting it on.
Right.
And there was just a number of other people that were there that, you know, that we saw. But the main thing is that the family was...
The family was just in awe. I talked to Mark, and he said he was a nervous wreck just because of it all coming together, but... Tears in his eye. Well, tears in everybody's eyes, I think.
And the people that did the bench, Outdoor Creations, what can you say about these people? This guy, I think his name is Scott.
Scott,
you know,
yes.
I called Scott and just gave our thank, you know, just thanked him. And I put it in a blog, you know, on the veterans blog I do on the Record Search. I mentioned, you know, who they were. But this was, when he found out what it was for, he refused to take money.
This man wants no recognition.
Yeah, it's too late. We're giving it to
him. We're giving it to him.
And he should be recognized. It doesn't mean that, you know, you need to go down there and, you know, drive around his place and honk your horn. But it's the thing is that he does the right thing.
Exactly.
I mean, he does. So.
Exactly.
But it was really a fine ceremony, and the bench is beautiful.
It's gorgeous. If you haven't seen it, you need to go down and see it.
Anderson River Park down there in the veterans area. If you just keep kind of driving back toward the end of the park.
The
southern end of the park. So, and you were there. You're always there. You and your husband there, Dave.
We're there for the veterans.
Yes, you are.
The military people.
You really are, and I can't thank you enough, you and Dave.
Oh,
thank you. And you see a lot of the same faces at these. At these events, and it's something that is, it's beautiful to see the support that veterans and their families get from the people here in the North State.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey,
we got to take a break and get back on schedule here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Welcome back. to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment today, 7:52 in the morning, February the 1st, 2011. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the state, maybe even west of the Mississippi. And then you have Espresso Joe's, where you can get any kind of coffee you want fixed great. The girls, they're working there, the T&B sweeties. A free meeting room where you can go over and drink your coffee, and it has free Wi-Fi. It's just a great place there. Joe and Shelley support our community. They are a strength in our community in supporting the veterans. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay. All right. That's one more time, because it's hit it again. Is there is a gent by the name of Mustafa El Hamid Mohammed Abu.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, well, he is in the county jail. He does have seven counts, including illegal possession of firearms, illegal possession of ammo, three or four other things. But the other one is illegal entry to the United States. So he's not here legally. He is on hold. There is no bail, and they're holding him for the ICE guys. So that's all that's known about him. You know, they don't know if how long he's been here. He could have been here for 30 years. We don't know. But he was arrested for all these things. So there, I hope that solves it. I hope that calms down the chat room right now. Let's talk about Egypt.
Could it happen here?
It could happen what?
Could that happen here?
What?
A popular uprising. Could things get squirrely?
Ooh, here we go. But
what if they turned off the internet? Here? What if they turned off the internet in a panic? What would that do?
Can they? Can the federal government turn it off?
It would be more difficult, far more difficult,
yeah.
Because they've only had about four service providers serving all of Egypt. We have many more than that.
Yeah, it would be difficult to do that. And then, you know, the protest would be, you know, they were looking for a million person march. It came out to like 200,000 maybe. So.
You take away those tweets, they'll be up in arms, man.
It looks like Mubarak appears to be, you know, he's just hanging in there. The military has said they're not going to kill anybody, and they've got to see which way the military is going to go. This is huge. You know, democracy is ideal. That's what you want. You want a democracy. Now, democracy, as we all know, is not perfect. But what other system is better than democracy? And the thing about it is, would you have democracy in Egypt? People thought Iran was going to become a democracy because the liberals were in it at the beginning, and then the liberals were forced out, and they had people thrown in jail and killed like you can't believe. Fundamentalist Muslims took over, and they still run Iran. So what you have here is they say, oh, well, we could have a democracy there. I'm not too sure you would. And when you have the Muslim Brotherhood, there is one of the main players, which is an outlawed from Egypt, and it's being supported by Iran. That it makes you wonder: are they looking to liberalize Egypt? Are they looking to take over? How could anybody know? And what is Obama doing right now? What has he done? Was he stepped up? Has he said anything? He says to let it happen. Well, this is the same thing that Jimmy Carter was. You know, Jimmy Carter said, be easier on people, hey, more human rights, and then all of a sudden when the Shah got ready to fall, they wanted him to, you know, crack down. It was too late. It was too late. And so we ended up having hostages taken for 444 days. I would hope at least if this thing goes on like this is that we start pulling people out of there, which they're talking about thousands are leaving right now, but those are mainly tourists. I hope they take out, you know, government officials so we don't have another hostage crisis.
And as one of our chatters pointed out, the U.S. has given Egypt a significant amount of pretty modern military hardware that's all stamped made in USA, and that if the government is taken over by folks less than friendly to us, that could make things a little, that could put a wrinkle in things.
Yeah, it could, but let's say just a few words here. Can we say Suez Canal? Can we say oil? Can we say stability? Can we say ally to the United States for 30 years that's kept the lid on? And, you know, you could use those as adjectives that describe Egypt. And that if you want to, uh, if, if the government falls and there's all this turmoil, I promise you the cost of oil is going to go up way over $100 a barrel. And if you think you're going to have gas less than, you know, less than $4.50 a gallon here in California by the summer, you know, you're barking up the wrong tree. Now, what should happen there? If there is going to be a transition, let it be an orderly transition and not riots in the streets and people, you know, just a wholesale abdication of Mubarak and the whole government, and let the place turn into chaos. It's the last thing you want. And if it is to turn into a democracy, I, a year from now, let's see what happens. You know, we thought that's what was going to happen to Iran. Oh, the people, the young people, the students. Well, now when the students stand up and we don't support them in Iran, they get pushed back, the police come after them, they get arrested, leaders just disappear. I can't help but think that if the idea of having a democracy in Egypt is going to be under a lot of attack from within. Anyway, okay. Our next hour, we're going to have the Red Cross in here, the emergency action people. We're going to talk about disasters. We're going to talk about what you can kind of do to prepare for those. What happens if there is a natural disaster and you're cut off for 3 or 4 days or 10 days? You know, what are some of the things you should have around your house? What are some of the things that you should do? Disaster preparedness. What are those essentials you should have to get through that? Well, that's in our next hour. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, and thanks for joining us this hour, and join us again after the news. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05 on February the 1st, 2011. January's gone, and, you know, in about, it'll seem like tomorrow we're going to say, what happened in February? As we're heading quick for the summer. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and if you go to, on your computer, to KCNR1460.com and click on air, you can listen to us as we stream all over the world. You can't escape us, but you can jump into the chat room, as many of you have, and now you're talking about, I'm not sure what you're talking about, signal increasers and something. You probably started that, didn't you, Bad Bob?
Somebody asked me a question about ham radio, and then the conversation slid into a company called Sea Crane over in Fortuna that sells a lot of fine radios.
Okay. Linda's on assignment this morning, and it's 51 degrees. It's going to be a great day. The rest of this week is going to be good. We're in the 60s, high 60s, and low 70s. Looks like a great week, and the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo. It's a vineyard, and Anselmo's on Valentine's Day, which is quickly coming, my friends. On the 13th, they're having two seatings, and they've got a special menu. They have a seating at noon and one at 4. The one at 4 is already sold out, and I think they have a couple left at the 12 o'clock hour, so you might want to give them a call out there and make a reservation. Of course, they're having dinner on the regular evenings, too, a Friday and Saturday, and during the week and the lunches. It's a great place to go to. It's not that far away. It's just a short way out of Palisadro. Okay. Our guest for this hour, we're going to be talking Red Cross stuff. We're going to be talking emergency preparedness. And our guest are Yvonne Preston. Good morning.
Good morning.
And John Tosello.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Excellent.
Okay. And now we want to talk about emergency preparedness. Is that correct?
That's why we're here this morning.
Okay. So what do you want to talk about here? What are the subjects we want to cover?
Well,
if we want to outline that, then we can go to a break and then we can get into it.
Let's do an outline. Let's just concentrate on things that would be likely and would be local. We won't need to spend a lot of time about tornadoes and earthquakes, just a nice emergency plan when things go bad. So,
okay, so we want to talk about things a family should have or in the household, so that you can kind of be protected and to take care of your family and yourself in case there's an emergency like this.
That's correct.
Okay, well, look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to really get into that. We're going to be talking, too, about the need for volunteers in this area for the Red Cross. And we're going to give away a emergency preparedness kit.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. FR1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 605-4567 is our phone lines. Of course, you can chat with us. 8:11 in the morning, February the 1st, 2011. This portion of the show was brought to you by Lumberjacks. 501 East Cypress. You know, they just have a variety of things that are great. How about the 2 for 12 seniors lunch? Must be 55 or older. And it goes from during lunchtime there. And they have any number of entrees. And they're they're 2 for $12. And you can add a cup of soup or add a salad bar to it. But a senior's menu, 2 for 12, 501 East Cypress Lumberjacks. You know, they give great, great value for the money. And they, you know, in this time, in this economy, this is the kind of thing you need to look for. Lumberjacks, it's a locally owned restaurant, and we always back those two. Okay, let's go back to Yvonne, and I've just lost it here completely.
It's John still sitting here.
I know,
it's still John.
Yeah. It's still John, and I just lost this whole thing here. Yvonne and John. Okay, I'm sorry. We're talking emergency preparedness. We talked about what was going if there's an emergency. Okay, John, let's go on from there. What do people need to be looking for or need to have?
A couple of things. For a disaster, it could be something as simple and as common as a power outage. You need to have a kit, and you need to have a plan, and you need to stay informed. And you can switch around. I mean, you can stay informed by listening to the radio, know that you have some bad weather coming up, and anticipate that, you know, stay informed. You need to have a kit, and that could be the kit for your home, for your family. It could be a kit that you have at work for your employees, or it could also be the kit that you and your family put in your car when you do travel.
Well, shouldn't you have a kit for all these places?
Yeah, exactly right. You bet. Be prepared. Have a kit. Have a plan. The plan should be, hey, if I'm at home and the power goes out, or we have a snowstorm, or there's a fire and we have to evacuate, or you're going to be traveling, you're going to go to the Bay Area, you're going to be, you know, traveling on vacation someplace, you should have a kit in your car also. And that kit needs to reflect what type of weather are you in. The kit that you're going to have for the summertime is going to contain probably a lot more bottled water and things like that, as opposed to in the cold weather, you might even have a collapsible snow shovel to get you out, or some space blankets and some warm clothing, those type of things.
Well, when I go out during the winter, when we were up in the mountains there, my emergency kit had space blankets, you know, kitty litter, chains, water, food, flashlights.
Oh, yeah, top of the list.
You can buy flashlights that have you know, the batteries that they're recharging, self-recharging, just by, you know, shaking it, which is, I think, is, you know, you don't have to worry about batteries being good. It's as long as you can move it around, it's going to give you light.
There's just all kinds of materials and things that you can have in your kit. And the Red Cross would be in a position at our office, or, of course, going on online and having a checklist, if you will, of various kits. And like I say, you don't want to be out there and have a collapsible snow shovel in the middle of summertime.
No, you have to change it around for, you know, water and such. Aren't these kits set up, or you should be set up for the amount of time? Like, you should be, you know, there's 3 days, 10 days, over 30 days. Do you believe in the stockpiling of food and water?
Well, I think that, and again, depending on your circumstances, for instance, if you live in the city of Redding, you're probably going to continue to have a source of fresh water. Our utility, our infrastructure here, set up water and wastewater. They have generators, and that's going to keep happening. You live out in the country, you have a well, what are you going to do when you run out of water? And the rule of thumb would be 3 days minimum. Certainly fresh water is on top of the list. But some food, you mentioned the flashlight, but as far as the length of time, it depends on your circumstance. If you live up in the mountains in the Trinities, let's say, and you may get snowed in, you may be wanting to look at a week or more of being without power. And you'll want to have those foodstuffs and sanitary supplies. And
you know, one of the things I you know, people are, they don't look at something happening so bad that it could cut them off from fresh food, water, for any length of time. What happens if you're cut off for 20 or 30 days? I mean, that is, you know, you could have a major earthquake. You could have a major disaster. You know, God forbid. But if there is, what if you're cut off from services for 20 or 30 days. How many people, most people for medications, because the way their insurance is, they get 30 days. And to try to get another 30 days of medications can be really cost prohibitive for people. And so at the end of that, and if you have a disaster on that 20th day and it lasts for 20 days, what are you going to do? Especially if it's medication that keeps you alive.
You know, you're exactly right. We tend to focus on, and I think we should, you know, those things that are likely to happen. And we're normally talking about things in a short duration. But there are things that have come up, you know, in the history that show us that, no, it could be a long-term situation. Let's take it, for instance, all of a sudden we find ourselves having to spend $10 for a gallon of gas. What is that going to do to the price of a loaf of bread? The demand is not going to keep up with the supply. And what are people going to do? This isn't going to be fixed in 30 days. Then if all of a sudden you're not able to travel, able to get food, maybe you should have a month's supply or more of those essential things that you need.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Brian. Brian, you're on KCNR.
You should have a month's supply.
Hey Brian, you need to turn down your radio.
Okay. Let's go to the phone.
Brian, turn down your radio.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Oh, we're fine, Brian. You want to talk about food storage?
Yeah, basically, I mean, with me, and the thing I've learned is the more experience you got and the more information and research you do, obviously the better prepared you get. I've got food storage as well, and I feel that I'm doing it for a couple of reasons, not just preparing for something that may happen or may not, but kind of curbing the cost, too, looking at the future, you know, kind of watching how inflation and food's going. So, I mean, I think there's different reasons why people do food storage. It isn't always just about preparing for a disaster, but really kind of learning to be more cost-effective, be more organized in that factor. And I'm putting together for actually each family member, I'm putting together a very small 72-hour backpack. And just the one thing I think that people need to realize is keep it simple. You know, do your research. You know, like you said, get the Red Cross checklist. I mean, I go by that. And just make sure you get the very basics. You don't want to be out somewhere if you have to leave your home and have difficulties trying to access some of the supplies that you need. Keep them very basic. You know, you can buy MREs, and you don't have to buy a whole case. You can buy enough to last each individual for 72 hours.
Hey, Brian.
To fit the backpack, small bottles of water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Brian, okay.
But trying to keep
everybody,
it simple.
For everybody out there, MREs are meals ready to eat. It's eaten by the military. They're very tasty. Okay, they're pretty tasty, and they have lots of calories and all types of things in there to help keep you healthy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break in on you, but some people don't understand the terminology.
No, exactly. I appreciate you clarifying that for them. But, you know, I've got... Are you there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Oh, okay. A little static there. I've got probably in regular long-term food storage, right at this point in time, I've got 6 months for a family of five.
Okay.
You know, it's an excellent
and it's sealed in Mylar bags and everything. I mean, I went through the whole process to make sure that the food lasts longer because I may need it for longer. I may not use it for, you know, 5 or 6 years. Who knows?
Yeah,
it's there when I need it.
You know, one of the things you said, Brian, was, you know, buying the food, you know, if you put it in your shelves and you're storing it for emergency, it can start, you know, as you buy new ones, you know, and you just start using the ones up front. But you always can maintain a constant supply. That way you can walk, you know, you can run through that.
Well, exactly, and it's really important to make sure that you date when you purchased it. And usually, I mean, everything that I bought grain-wise or whatever, I look at the date on there when it was packed, and it's literally just maybe 60 days difference from when I purchased it, pretty much 90% of the time. So you pretty much know, you know, you put your date when you purchased it on whatever you're sealing it or storing it, so you have a general idea of when that rotation needs to be.
Yeah. Okay, hey, Brian, we got to take a break, but thank you so much for the phone call because you obviously have taken a lot of time and energy and thought to be able to take care of it.
I got a family, man. That's where it comes down to.
Well, that's it. And we're going to be talking about this the rest of the day or the rest of today. And then I'd like to have a series on urban survival. What happens if we do have the disaster?
You know, there's so many good people out there. Gosh, I can't wait to hear a lot more about that.
Yeah, well, I think that we need it because you never can tell when there's going to be a breakdown. And it could be a natural disaster. It could be anything. It could be $10 gas. And, there, you know, what happens
if
it doesn't get here? Okay. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We're talking emergency preparedness with the Red Cross with John Tosello and Yvonne Preston, experts in this. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. February the 1st, 8:23 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Mike's Music. That's right, Mike's Music. Great prices on their instruments. They teach you how to use them. They're, you know, it's they've got rooms there that you can practice in. I think they call them studios. Yes, I think that's the word for it. And you can reach Mike at 243-3774. You know, if you want to get into music, and you want to get into it with some guys that know what they're doing, go to Mike's. You know, Linda, who has been an entertainer her whole life, really likes going down there. She likes talking to the guys. She likes the support they give. And they just don't sell you the instruments and you walk out. They want to make sure that you know how to use them and that you're taught well. That's Mike's Music, 243-3774, right off of Cypress. Our guest today, John Tosello and Yvonne Preston from the Red Cross, we've been talking emergency preparedness. Our last caller, Brian, he was right. He's got a family of five, and he wants to have enough food for 4 or 5 months and enough supplies for 4 or 5 months. I don't, you know, some people would say, well, that's kind of paranoid. Why? Why? Because you're prepared for something that could happen.
I think he made some excellent points. He's saving money. He's undoubtedly saving money for his family. It's like they're going to eat this next 5 months, so they have some food put up. And another great point, dating that material, use it while it's still fresh. So the time starts to come up to rotate that. Start eating that food and replace it with some other supplies that will be ready for an emergency. Yeah.
One of our comments here in the chat room, look what happened during Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody was prepared for that. Oh, the government can help us. Well, the government didn't help. And they were, you know what, they're still in disaster down there. And I guess they're trying to get better. How long ago was that? That has to be, 4 or 5 years ago? I mean,
it's still a mess down there. Very ill prepared.
You know, and this is the thing too. It's like here we are. Everybody said we've got the Sacramento River. We do, but what if there's debris in the Sacramento River? What if there's things in there you don't really want to ingest? A simple water purifier. You should have that as part of your emergency supply.
Very, very good point. Because after your flashlight, I always have the top of the list when things go out. You need the flashlight to find out where all your stuff is. And then, you know, top of the list after that is water. And you're absolutely right. People get the idea you go to this beautiful mountain stream and it's pure and it's melted snow. Well, you don't know if there was a beaver just right upstream doing what beavers do, and you can actually get seriously ill drinking this what you would think crystal clear water. It does need to be sanitized, and there's portable methods using charcoal filters and UVs. And in an emergency, just simply having some chlorine around for disinfected. You've been in the military, the little chlorine tabs you throw in your canteens. It keeps you from getting the bugs.
Yeah, we'd put it in there, iodine and stuff like that. But you know, the military has gotten so much better. You know, we have different kits too. But I guess they still issue the iodine tablets when we're out there. Let's go to the phones. Gary, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning.
How are you?
To add to your kit in the automobile, a tow strap, not a tow rope, a tow strap. And the strap is easy to store and has the attachments at the end, at each end, so you can hook to the car, whatever, rather than, you know, you're trying to fumble around, especially if it's cold weather, trying to tie a knot in a rope, and chains obviously will damage the vehicle. And that can be stored in the where the spare tire is. You can even wrap it around the spare. And another one I heard on another program is jumper cables wrapped around the spare tire. Then they don't become tangled, and they're out of the way if you need such a thing as that. And the last, try to keep at least a half a tank of fuel at all times, especially in cold weather because of the moisture, and you never know when you might have an emergency, and running on empty doesn't go very far. So thank you very much, gentlemen.
You bet, Gary. Thank you. The part about the gasoline is real important. You should always try and keep a half a tank. of gas in your car, because you never can tell what happens.
And that's an excellent point, and I've gotten to have it right after being in San Francisco during the earthquake. It was in 96 during the series and everything. And you're right. You've got no traffic lights. You can't pump gas, et cetera, et cetera. And I made a point, whenever I travel like that, as soon as I get into town, I'm topping it off, pointing in the direction of Reading. In the event that something like that does happen, you're ready to get out of town because you're not going to get any gas.
Well, we had an emergency, and luckily we had that half tank of gas, and we so we could get up to Anselmo's, have a glass of wine, and get back. You know, it was
priorities.
It was a priority, and it was an emergency at that point. You know, the other thing too is when you're traveling, and say you're traveling someplace, and you say, oh, okay, I'm going to spend the night here. If there's a bridge or water or anything like that, always go to the other side that you want to go to instead of waiting, because you never can tell if that bridge was going to be there the next day. I know it sounds funny, but you know, if you can do that, I just think of these things like that as you're traveling. That just makes life easier. You know, what ifs? I mean, you can't be paranoid about it, but you should have a car kit. And we've got just a couple minutes left. We're going to come back. We need to talk about, you know, some more ways we can be prepared for emergencies. And we need have Yvonne roll in here and tell us that we need some help to do this. And the Red Cross is more than willing to help, but now we need to help the Red Cross as far as people go. How much time we got here?
And we're just over a minute.
Okay. All right, well, let's hit one more thing here then. On the we've talked about, you know, a car kit. The strap's a good idea. I like that.
The car kit, the tow straps in there, the jumper cables, the simple thing is a map. GPS, your GPS doesn't go out, or does it get charged, this and that, and the bridge goes out. I-5's closed. It's been a hazmat situation. There's, you know, and you have to reroute. Do you know your way around? We've heard the horror stories of people using GPSs and driving down some logging road and getting stuck and actually dying.
Yep. GPSs are not smart. They just repeat they just show what they have. I mean, any time that your life depends on an electronic piece of gear, you might want to be able to do the job yourself. All right. And that goes for any type of thing. You know, I see dive calculators tell you how long you can stay underwater. Okay, what if the computer's got having a bad day? At 60 feet, you start bending yourself. Okay, Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We're talking emergency preparedness when we come back with the Red Cross. We're going to discuss how to take care of yourself in major emergencies. Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today, trying to make sure the house is still there when we get back. 8:34 in the morning, February the 1st, 2011. It is 51 degrees. It's going to be a great day today. It's going to be really good weather for the whole week. We're talking high 60s and 70, low 70s. It's going to be really good weather. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue in the Cypress Square, of course. And great haircuts, great prices. DC Tim, the man in black, they support our community. If you're a veteran, you get a discount there. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, there's no hairstyling going on. There's no gelling. There's no hair dryers. This is man's last stronghold, my friends. You go there. You go in for a haircut. You get a haircut. They shave around your neck and your ears. I mean, it's great. They have animal heads on the wall. Some animals I've never even seen before. I'm not even sure they are animals. I'm not even sure where they got these from, and I've never asked because, frankly, men don't ask other men those kind of things. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens. Go down and visit them. Our guest, Yvonne Preston from Red Cross, is looking at me askance when I'm talking like this, going, this is kind of a strange place, she thinks. Well, it's not that strange. It gives you haircuts. Drop your kids off there. They can read, you know, about car and driver and
there you go.
You know, those kind of things. And John Tosello, both from the Red Cross. We've been talking emergency preparedness. Now, one of the ways to train our Red Cross people is you have drills.
Matter of fact, yes, we do. We have a drill coming up. The Red Cross is going to be participating along with the, I believe Reading Fire will take the lead in this. There's going to be a drill. A disaster drill involving a simulated crash, most likely with the passenger airline out at the Reading Airport. The airport's required to put an actual drill on triannually every third year, and they do tabletops in between that. And we will be participating in that along with, like I said, Reading Fire, medical services, you know, security, PD, Homeland Security.
Is everybody going to be, like, standing around and this thing starts? Or do you have to come in from different places?
Negative. One of the good things about a drill you should practice on and drill on is how do you get your notification to get your mobilization. That's a very important first step. Can you contact your people? Can you get them to the site? Can you get them organized? So, no, we're going to be doing the full drill and calling people up and getting them to respond.
Good. That's, you know, that to me is very important. It's having people standing around and just waiting to do it is wrong.
Okay. It's not authentic. That's not what would happen in real life.
So then are they going to do it set up for the size of aircraft we'd have there? Is it going to be, like, larger? Or?
No, they will probably be utilizing, the passenger airlines are airline people that are here on site. It's going to be their aircraft. It's going to be their personnel out there. Reading Jet Center is going to be in the middle of all that. They'll be participating because we'll probably be using their facilities in an emergency.
Okay, so what can we expect on a drill like this?
Well,
we go out and we notify everybody. You know, does everybody know the day it's going to be?
It's tentatively scheduled for May 4th or 5th.
Okay, so people have an idea. So,
that's right.
So they put the word out. There's been a disaster. We need everybody to come on.
It's going to be a 911. Your fire is going to take the lead. They will be the incident command. We have a fire station there. They're trained and equipped for such a incident. And then take it from there. You set up your incident command, and you get your support teams in there. You get the fires out. You start dealing with casualties. And the Red Cross's role would be to set up a family assist center. Those people that can walk to a site. It's very important in a situation like this to account for everyone. Red Cross will receive the passenger list from the airlines, and we will be the ones that will work in conjunction with fire. Where are the people? These are the people that are here. We're taking care of them. How important would it be in a situation if you knew your mom was on a plane going to Reading and it crashed? How important would it be that you know mom was okay and mom knew that she could get back to her son and let him know that it was okay? So we need to get that communication up. Who's been transported to a hospital? And those type of things. So that's what the Red Cross will be assisting with.
Okay. But you can't do this by yourselves.
Oh,
so
no.
You're going to need... Red Cross is looking for some assistance here. Yvonne?
Absolutely, we are. The Red Cross runs on 97% volunteers. And we not only depend on volunteers in larger situations, emergency situations, such as what John is talking about, but we have 13 counties we service within our chapter, from Modoc all the way to Grass Valley, Yuba Center area. And in every one of those counties, we have disaster relief volunteers, and they are the ones who get up in the middle of the night, bitter cold, pouring rain, and go out when there's a house fire or some kind of a local emergency and offer assistance to them, financial assistance. And we take care of their short-term housing, food. We stay with them until they are settled into long-term housing. And we're in a somewhat of a crisis mode now. We've had a lot of fires in November here locally in Shasta County, and our coffers are really running dry at this point. And financial assistance is really what we need. These people come out in the middle of the night, oftentimes without cell phones, only wearing their jammies, their purses inside. And we are, the Red Cross is there for financial assistance.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Red Cross is, we got to take a break here. Red Cross in the military, if you've been in the military, you know about Red Cross. They're the ones that do the notifications of,
that's right,
of, you know, somebody dying in your family or extremely ill or illnesses. And you have to get the Red Cross notification. You can have somebody from your family call you, and which happens sometimes, but it's the only time that the military really takes a step is if it's Red Cross notification. Especially if you're out of the country, and then in some cases they've actually even helped people get back. So, all right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit more about that, and then again some more about preparedness. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Fill in the gap of winter and spring this February and head down to Wind.
KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. Call us at 605-4567. You're in the chat room at KCNR1460.com as we're streaming. It's 8:43 in the morning on February 1st, 2011. It's going to be a great day today. This portion brought to you by BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. He's got a new office now, 1345 Liberty Street, right downtown Reading. Or call him at 244-1988. He puts in Dish Satellite. He's a local guy, been in the business since 1985. He's a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. He does great work. He guarantees it. What could you ask more of? That's Doug Tooley, BNT Satellite, 244-1988. Our guest, John Tosello and Yvonne Preston from the Red Cross. Yvonne, we're talking about the different, the Red Cross needs some help, but you also provide other things that maybe people don't know about also.
That's right, we do. We're looking for volunteers right now. If anybody's interested in signing up, becoming a Red Cross volunteer locally, you can go to our website, arcnec.org, and shop around there and look at what all the things we do and become familiar with it. And you'll be able to see our classes, too, that we offered in disaster preparedness classes, first aid classes, CPR, absolutely.
I would like everybody in the city of Reading to sign up for CPR classes in case you see me walking down the street and I collapse.
That's
right. Have to push each other around to get down and give me chest compressions and the breath of life. Okay, maybe not all everybody. Bad Bob, let somebody else give me the mouth. You can give the chest compressions though.
Very important.
Very important. It is, yeah. And I make light of that, but it is. Knowing CPR is probably one of the most important things you can learn in your life.
Right.
You give out first aid kits and other things too, though, right?
That's right. We do. One thing I want to mention is if people are busy, you want some kind of a preparedness kit. Go to our national website, and you can purchase any kind of a type of kit you need, emergency preparedness kit, small enough to fit in your purse or large enough to fit in your car, in your home. You can buy those ready-made. If you just don't know where to start preparing a kit, please go to our website, and you can buy them already made.
Okay, and you also have probably a checklist on there, like you said. Now, you have, first aid kits for pets?
We do. We only have a couple left in the office here locally. If you'd like to buy a kit for your dog, for your pet, you travel, you RV, you hike with your dog, you camp with your dog, very important. We also have pet first aid classes that you can take, doggy first aid classes. Know what to do in an emergency if something happens to your dog. It God forbid, gets hit by a car, it runs out into the street. Learn how to remove those porcupine needles your dog, or how to restrain it in an emergency situation. You're out in the wilderness. You need to know heat stroke also for pets. They are susceptible to heat stroke.
And some species of dog much more so than others.
Too. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So all of those things we offer, you can find the. I think we're down to one or two pet first aid kits in our office, but you can find them on our national website.
But you've got more people first aid kits there, right?
Absolutely, we do. Yes, absolutely, we do.
Is this one of the things you want to give away, though?
We would love to give away a first aid kit for people.
Okay.
$30 value. It's a nylon zip bag. You can carry it. I carry mine in my car.
Okay.
And we'd love to give that away.
So we're going to give away a first aid kit. For four people. It comes in a bag. Red Cross is going to give it away to the first caller at 605-4567. So if you want to get a first aid kit for emergencies, this is the place to do it. No, Nate, you can't get it. You can't call in here. Okay, 605-4567. Give us a call. There you go. Somebody's calling already. Okay.
Great.
Now, the only thing about it is that you're going to have to go down to the Red Cross and pick it up, because we don't have them here. So,
right.
And where's Red Cross located?
We are on Oregon Street. We are a very small office, and so you can call us at 244-8001 and arrange to pick that up.
Okay, and
I would like to add, we're going to get much bigger with your support, though.
That's
yeah,
right.
Well, we are. Yeah, well, that's what we have to do. I mean, Red Cross does a lot of great things here. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up on our emergency preparedness and how to get a hold of Red Cross and how you can volunteer and all that. Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio. We have given away the first aid kit. I think Dan won. And, okay, we've got your phone number, Dan. You're going to have to go to Red Cross or give them a call at 244-8001 and go down and pick that up. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Back down. No, I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bot. 8:51 in the morning, February 1st, 2011. It's 51 degrees. It's going to be a great day today. This portion of the show brought to you by the back on Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, one of my favorite places to go down. Just nothing else. There's a lot of veterans down there. Get to see people you know. People like John, he's down there. He goes down there and sees the sees his fellow veterans. Great walk-in humidor. Joe and Shelley support our community in so many different ways. And Espresso Joe is just great coffee at great prices. Can't ask for more. You know, friendly people that, you know, care about you. Tobacco and Brew is just a quality place. And the people, Joe and Shelley, are quality people, and their employees are.
So, I go down there just to buy cigars for my girlfriend. She's a cigar aficionado, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That could be a show in itself.
That's it. Well, you know what? You know, cigars are. You know, you could do a whole show on cigars like you do on wine. There's nothing wrong. I mean, there's just, you know, different pairings of things. Okay, hey, our guest today, John Tosello and Yvonne Preston of the Red Cross. Now, one of the things we want to talk about was we came back, and this is our last segment, is the volunteers. We need to, you know, push for volunteers, right?
That's right. We do. All of our disaster relief efforts, we are first responders. And that all takes volunteers. 97% of Red Cross is supported by volunteers.
So a lot of people, you know, you might have some time. You may be, you know, hey, you're retired, but, you know, you don't like sitting around the house. You like go out and do things. I mean, you can go down to the Red Cross and help. There's plenty of opportunities for, you know, or if you're between jobs now, why not go down and get that on your resume that you're, you know, that you're a trained instructor in CPR or something that they can train you to do that.
That's right.
One of the things we talked about in our disaster relief or disaster preparedness here, John, was we've had some people write into us say, hey, you need to know how to shut off your water and power supply, to your house in case something happens. Bob, you were talking about stairs?
The Shasta-Tehama Amateur Radio Emergency Services. And while they're not like the Lions Club, they won't find me if I forget to mention them. I do feel compelled that they provide support services for the Red Cross and other agencies.
Okay, and that's like ham radio operators and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Because when the infrastructure fails, radio gets through.
Cell phone goes, all your little iPads and all those things start coming apart there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, John.
Yeah, most important, I think, on the volunteers, can't stress that enough. We have such a great core of our team leaders that are doing the responses to local incidents. And there's a great place for volunteers to come up. You will be trained on how to respond, what Red Cross is all about, how to do all manner of things. Evaluate a disaster when you go out there. How bad is it? Logistics, setting up a shelter. There's all these things that you can do. We have this great core of leaders that are responding to these, and we need to get some people. We need to get in depth. We need to get some personnel in depth that can follow in their footsteps and assist them and respond when they're not available. So it's very important. We could use a lot of volunteers, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's a good group of people. You're going to feel good when you go out and help some folks out. And can't emphasize enough, give us a call, get signed up, get some training, and join us.
Well, you know, the Red Cross plays such an important part in our community. And even though we've got, it's on, the office is, where is it, on Oregon Street?
Oregon Street, yeah.
Okay. And what's the address?
6015 Oregon Street.
Okay, and the phone number again there?
244-8001.
Okay, and you can buy, you've got kits there for preparedness. You can buy preparedness kits, or you've got checklists. Are checklists available down there, John?
We do have some checklists available. There's a great one here under what we call three actions, and that's where I was talking about earlier. Have a plan, have a kit, keep informed, and it has information on there. Also talks about a checklist, if you will, everything from personal items, sanitation, pet supplies, meds, documents. And if you go online,
And for people that don't go online because they just don't go online, they can get this from the Red Cross, right? You just have to
you
call.
Bet.
And y'all will mail it to them or something? Or?
We will. We will. We're happy to do that, yes.
You know, the thing is that we assume in the civilian world that nothing's going to happen. I mean, we just assume that. We assume that we're going to have power tomorrow, we're going to have water. You know, one of the great things about our country, this wonderful country we live in, is you can go anywhere, and you can turn on the faucet, and you get water you can drink. You know, some people say, oh, no, not every... Well, trust me, it's almost, you know, where it isn't is such an anomaly. But what happens if things go wrong? And it doesn't have to be, you know, not an armed revolt, there's not looters and... you know, running around the streets and all that, though that could happen at some point. This is just something, a disaster that happens, a hurricane, which we won't get up here, but we could get an earthquake. I mean, that's not unheard of. Things that, that people just need to be prepared, and it's so easy, Yvonne. I mean,
it is. It is. It's very easy. And it's nice also, you know, if you, I like giving them as gifts to people, and who wouldn't normally think about these things, because we get used to going through our day-to-day routine, and we don't stop and think about these things that likely could happen.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I've got flashlights everywhere in the house. Then I go through and find out that some of them, yeah, they come on, but you can't see at the end of it. I can't see to the end of your arm there with it. I'm like, okay, I probably need a new battery there. That's why I really like these kind that they're self generating. That you just, you know, you can shake them and that is what gives you the power for the light. That way you don't have to worry about batteries. Get as many of those as you can. You should have flashlights in your car. Just a minimum is a flashlight in your car.
Just a minimum.
Yeah.
That's right.
Another handy one I like a lot are the chemical lights. They're making them better and better all the time. You have those in your glove box. They can be used as road flares. They can light up, depending on the size of them. The chemical lights, you know, the plastic ones, you break them, chemical action starts them off. Those are great, too.
You know what? We found out if you take those and you light them up and you drop them in a pitcher of beer, it attracts things.
Are we going to work on that later this morning?
Attracts other people. Okay. That was many years ago, and I was in a land far, far away.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a marine thing.
It was. You know,
yeah.
It was. Well, anyway. Okay. Well, hey, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We appreciate y'all being here. This is not going to be the last time, because like Yvonne, like you said, we could do this, talk about another hour for this. But what I'd like to do is set up, and we've talked about it, is we're going to do a week here where we do an hour a day talking about survival, starting from the very basics on to the survival for over 30 days.
Excellent.
And that, you know, you think that can never happen, but why not kind of get an idea of what you could do to take care of your family and others around you if there is a major catastrophe here. Hopefully it never happens, but you should feel better by being prepared for it. Okay. Later on this week, we're going to have Norma Komnik, who's the mayor of Anderson. We're going to have Bo, who owns Rocky's Motorcycle. He's going to tell us how to get ready for this upcoming riding season. Great guy. Got a lot of great information. A local guy, a local business, too. So we'll be talking to him. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.